Okay, today we come to Joshua chapter 5. And Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua 5, verse 5 is where we resume. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. While in Egypt, the Israelites obeyed God and they circumcised their baby boys. But once they got out of Egypt, and during the 40 years in the wilderness, they neglected God's law concerning that. It says in verse 6, "For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land, which the Lord swore to their fathers, that he would give us, a land that flows with milk and honey." Neglecting to circumcise their young was typical of that rebellious generation of Israelites. It was just more of the same. They disobeyed in many ways. And that's one of the reasons that they were not allowed. Well, that was the reason that they were not allowed to enter into the Holy Land. It didn't have anything to do with the circumcision, as it were, but it was their attitude of disobedience that permeated their entire being. 7. "And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way." Since their parents had neglected their duty to circumcise them as children, God ordered it to be done to them as an adult. Lesson: adults who are not raised correctly in the eyes of God are still responsible to change their ways, get right with God through Jesus Christ, through repentance and receiving him as Lord and Savior. What your parents did do or did not do has no connection to what you are responsible to do. 8. "And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp, till they were whole." In other words, until they were healed. It's a good thing that God caused a supernatural fear to fall on the Canaanites concerning Israel. I say that because for 3 days, none of the Israelites' soldiers could even move, let alone fight. They were so sore from the operation. Verse 9. "And the Lord said to Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day." And the reproach of Egypt refers to the taunt of Egypt when they said, sure, their God saved them from slavery, but he won't get them to the promised land. They're going to die in the desert. That's what Pharaoh said, in essence. Well, God did get them into their land and put an end to the reproach of Egypt. 10. "And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at evening in the plains of Jericho." What a great place to celebrate the Passover in the promised land. So they celebrated that religious feast which remembered their deliverance from Egypt. They celebrated the Passover about 1 mile from Jericho, which will be the first community to be conquered by Israel in the Holy Land. 11. And they did eat of the old grain, or the old produce of the land, on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn, in the selfsame day. God had promised them an abundance of food once they reached the Holy Land. And right here they are enjoying their first meal, courtesy of God. 12. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old produce of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And so as soon as they started eating the food from the Holy Land, God stopped sending the manna. They never saw it again. They had the manna for as long as they needed it, 40 years. God supplies the needs of his people in different ways, at different stages in their life. But he always somehow supplies. 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" War was about to break out. And suddenly Joshua sees this man with a sword drawn. Well, you wonder what was going through his mind. I think you get an indication. Obviously, he's there to fight. But Joshua just wants to know whose side he's on. 14, and he said, "Nay, but as captain of the Lord, or the host of the Lord, I now come." In other words, he's not a soldier from Jericho, and he's not a soldier from Israel either. He's a commander of God's army. And he added, "I just got here. I've come. I've just arrived," meaning the battle is about to really heat up. And if he just got there, you know, something is about to happen. Look at verse 14 again. He said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said to him, "What says my Lord to his servant?" Joshua worshiped this person. And this person didn't rebuke Joshua, which means that he wasn't simply an angel. This has got to be God himself in human form, showing that he is ready to lead his people to victory. Because if it would have just been an angel, the angel would have said, "Don't worship me, worship God." This is God. God is what you need him to be when you need him to be it, if you are his child. And right now, Joshua and Israel need God to be a fighter. And that's why the Lord shows up all decked out like a warrior. 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Loose your shoe from off your foot, for the place whereon you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Remember, that's what God told Moses to do when he appeared to him at the burning bush. Joshua had asked, "What do you want me to do?" God's answer was, "Show me the proper respect." Lesson: show respect for your Creator and your God. That is the beginning of God's will for each one of us. That's foundational. Chapter 6. Now, Jericho was tightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And as we saw earlier, everyone was kind of frozen in the city of Jericho. No neighbors came to the aid of Jericho. No neighboring cities, no neighboring tribes came to their aid, and no one from Jericho came out repenting and surrendering to Israel either, which, with the exception of Rahab, kind of amazes me. 2. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given into your hand Jericho and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." And so the captain of the Lord's army assures Joshua that they're going to take Jericho. And he now has God's specific word on that particular city. He had a general promise before this, but God, being so gracious, reiterates it, makes it very specific. The matter is settled. This thing is over. Verse 3. And he continues, "And you shall go around the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall you do 6 days." So for 6 straight days, Joshua is to take all his soldiers, march to Jericho, circle the city once, and then return back to camp. 4. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. So on the 7th day, the ark with 7 priests blowing 7 trumpets are to circle the city 7 times. The priests and the ark, which, remember, was symbolic of God's presence, pictured the fact that the fall of Jericho is going to be all of God's doing. 5. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. So when the priest let out a loud blast, the entire army is to let loose with shouts. With shouts. Not with spear throwing, not with rock throwing, but with shouts. In other words, the army is to give a loud, long, standing ovation to God for what he's about to do. Namely, collapsing the walls of Jericho. Verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." And remember, the Ark had rings on both sides. So the priest slipped carrying poles through the rings and hoisted the Ark on their shoulders. It was done that way because it was forbidden to touch the ark. It was holy, symbolizing once again the separation that exists between holy God and sinful man. Verse 7, and he said to the people, "Pass on and go around the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord." So get the picture. There were unarmed Israelites, followed by armed soldiers, followed by priests and the ark, and they are followed by a rear guard. Verse 8, and it came to pass when Joshua had spoken to the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And I think we're going to stop right here, and we'll pick up again in verse 8 next time.